a little while back, Teresa had talked to me and she said, I really feel like there's something that God wants me to share, but I really don't want to do it because I don't like standing in front of people and I'm really nervous. And God kept tugging on her heart. And so Teresa this morning is going to share a little bit of her testimony about, well, I won't ruin it for you, but she's going to share how she got to this place today where she's at. Teresa is a really important part of our church in a lot of ways. She's our treasurer here at the church does a lot for us and is really involved, and I don't know what I'd do without her. She prints out these financial sheets that I completely don't understand, but I trust that her and the board do. So Teresa's gone from brand new, not even talking to anybody at church, to being super involved. So she's going to share a little bit about that this morning. Thank you for being brave and getting up here to do this.
Good morning, everybody. Like Shane said, God laid it on my heart to come up and share my testimony. With that being said, I'll give you a little background. So I was born and raised in Rhode Island to a Catholic family, and we always went to church and catechism and all of that, and I believed in God, but I never had a relationship with God. I never even knew that you could. So I continued growing up and learning. But then I got to be a young adult, and I got a little disheartened with organized religion. So I kind of stepped back, and I didn't really have anything to do with going to church for about quite a while, about 25 years. So then I started to really miss it. God started to whisper in my ear and wanted me to come back. So Vern and I had just gotten together, and we were actively seeking out a church. And God led us here, and I'm so glad that he did, because we have a wonderful church family, and we really love you guys. We love our pastor, and we have learned so much. Thank you, God. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for never leaving me. So when we first came here about 10 or 12 years ago, we pretty much just wanted to come to church, hear the message, and go home. We didn't. That was it. But God had different things planned for us, and wasn't our plan, but it was the best plan. So after we had been here a couple of years, Pastor Shane asked me if I wanted to be baptized. And I said, well, I've already been baptized. I was baptized as a baby. And he said, well, this time you could be baptized and know about Jesus and God. And I said, yeah, I know the story. I know that God sent his son Jesus to save people and from their sins. And he said, he didn't just save people, he saved you. And I went, Pastor Shane said, you should really make it personal. So I decided at that point that maybe I was someone special that God might want to take the time to get to know. Pastor Shane said a few other things that got my attention as well. One of them was when he was given a sermon on us giving our tithes and offerings. And he said so much of us fall into the habit of, at the end of the week, seeing what we have left over in our wallet and putting it in the offering boxes, saying, thanks God, I had a good week. Here you go. Here's $20 or whatever. And Pastor Shane said we should try not to tip God like that. When we give our tithes and offerings, we should do it first, give our first, and give our best. And I thought, oh, I don't know if I can do that. I work hard for my money, but I'll try. So at that point, I started being more deliberate and making that the first check that I wrote. Another thing that Pastor Shane said to me over the years was that God wanted to have a relationship with all of us. And I thought, how in the heck can I do that? I can't see him. I can't talk to him. I don't know how to do it. So Pastor Shane said, well, you can do that by reading the Bible and by just starting to talk to God. So I did. He suggested reading the Bible for, half an hour, 20 minutes in the morning, every morning. So I started doing that, and it was pretty easy. And then I started to notice the more I paid attention to God, the more God paid attention to me. I thought maybe I'm worth something to God. Maybe he does want to get to know me. So the next thing I started doing, so now I was reading the Bible. I was giving my tithes and offerings first. I started talking to God, especially this year. This year has been such a crazy year, and being separated from my work friends, my church friends. We are social creatures. We need each other. So I was working from home, and my wonderful husband and I spent a lot of time together, which, by the way, Pastor Shane married us about 8 years ago. And Vern and I spent a lot of time together while I was working set up at the kitchen table. He got used to that. Every morning, I would make it a point. I couldn't go to the gym anymore, but I lived close to the lake. So every morning I would get up and I'd go for a hike before work in the summertime. And I'd talk to God the whole time. And I'd plan my day and complain to him and thank him, even though things were crazy. So the more I paid attention to God, the more he paid attention to me. So I guess what I really want to say, the point that I want to bring home, is it wasn't hard to start that relationship with God. Something that I thought was so unachievable was really kind of easy, but I had to take the first step. God's not going to force himself on us. He's not going to make us be his friend. We've got to reach out first. And once I did, then he started paying attention to me. And he has blessed me and Vern so much and whispers in my ear, and most of the time I grudgingly do it or find a dozen reasons not to. 2 years ago, he asked me to come up and speak, and so 2 years later, I'm doing it, so I'm not perfect, but he knows that. I'm not a saint, I'm a sinner, and he knows that too, and he wants me anyway. How amazing is that? So I just want to encourage you, if you don't have a relationship with God like I didn't for so many years, he really wants us back. He wants all of his children back, but we have to make the first step. We have to reach out to him. Then he'll reach out to us. At least that's the way I've seen it. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for Jesus, and thank you for my family.
Thank you, Teresa. Not sure it was 2 years ago that Teresa told me, but it was quite a while ago that she told me that God was kind of prodding her to do this. And what I love when she first talked to me about it, she said, I don't know exactly what to say. She said, I just want to let people know that I used to sit back there and Pastor Shane talked about having a relationship with God. And I thought, how in the world can I do that? I can't have a relationship with God. And then she said, I just want to tell people now that you can and that everybody can do that. And I thought, you know what? That's a perfect thing to tell people. Teresa, you need to do that. And then here we are today. She got to do that. I want to say before we get into the message, I would like to do more of that in the coming months here at the church. I want to hear a lot more testimonies. I think it's really important for us to hear from each other and not just from me. I get bored of me talking. I don't know about you guys. there's something special about hearing from one another, and something I've been sharing a lot lately that God's put on my heart is every single one of us as a follower of Christ, we all have something to learn and we all have something to teach, every one of us. And so I just encourage you, spend some time in prayer. Ask God, hey, is there something I'm supposed to be sharing with my church? I know some of you are scared to death to get up here. Talk to Teresa about that because she overcame a lot of that. It's always good to have you up here and speaking. But if you really feel God's laid something on your heart and you're scared to death to stand in front of everybody, we can always record it and play it during a service. If we end up going to all online again and we have to do that, I can play that during our stream. I don't want to miss out to what God is speaking to you and what he's telling you. So I encourage you this week, spend some time in prayer and say, God, is there a message from my life that I'm supposed to be sharing with the church? And let me know, okay? All right, we're going to be in Psalm 100 today. That's what we're going to spend our time in. So you can go ahead and turn there. And as you're doing that, I want to know, what is your favorite Thanksgiving song? The one that's on the radio, it's on the store all the time when you go. Which one of the Thanksgiving songs do you love the most? Give thanks. All right, Anita has one. Thank you, Anita.
I like
this one. All right. I know that one. Yeah. Yeah. So how many Thanksgiving songs do we know, though? I mean, if you go to church, you probably know quite a few, but we sing them all year long, right? In the world, we don't hear a lot of Thanksgiving songs. What's your favorite Thanksgiving special on TV? I like Charlie Brown. Anybody else like that? Yeah, that's a good one. Or, you know, there's a multitude of others, right? Not really. There's not. There's not a whole lot of Thanksgiving specials on TV, especially if we think about movies and TV shows about Christmas, right? I mean, boy, we couldn't even name them all if we sat here and listed them all day. So what, you know, what's the show that you sit down and watch on Thanksgiving? It's probably football, huh? That's our Thanksgiving program that we like to watch. And so we have a tendency to go from Halloween to Christmas and just skip right over Thanksgiving. Now, from a worldly perspective, especially from a marketing perspective, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Halloween, there's a lot of candy to sell, lots of costumes and all those things. And then Christmas, man, that's when you get rid of all your inventory from the last year, right? Is at Christmas time. Well, the reason that is because from a marketing perspective, you don't want to concentrate on a holiday that's all about contentment, do you? The only thing to sell is turkey. That's all you got. It's about contentment. It's about already looking at what I do have and being thankful for that. And so often we skip right over that. Now, in the church, we cannot do that. For Christians, we should be very careful not only to recognize Thanksgiving, but to spend serious time making the most of it in our lives. And I truly believe, it's no mistake that Thanksgiving comes first. I truly believe until we've looked at the things that we're going to look at today, until we've really seen what it means to give thanks to our God, then we can't truly celebrate what comes up at Christmas time. And it's going to make it so much richer, so much more amazing to look at the manger and the birth of our Savior. And so that's what I want to do today. And hopefully by the time we get to the end, I want to share with you just the beauty of Christmas from the perspective of thankfulness. Let me read for you Psalm 100. It says, "Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to God. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good and his faithful love endures forever, his faithfulness through all generations." Let me pray for us. Father, as we come today, I ask that you would speak your word loud and clear to us. I ask that you would open up our hearts. I truly believe that every one of us here today is here for a purpose, that you have something that you want to speak to us in a way that you want to change our hearts and change our lives. And so, Lord, I just ask that we would be open to that we would hear you, that we would hear your voice and we would respond to it. Lord, speak through the power of your word into our lives today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we're going to talk about a lifestyle of thanksgiving, something that's who we are, not just something we do once a year. And so I want to look at this psalm, and I want to talk about four different things. The first, or five different things. The first one is the expressions of a thankful heart. What does it look like on the outside? How do we express ourselves when we truly have a heart that's thankful? The second thing is the beliefs of a thankful heart. What is it inside that heart that you believe that brings about that thankfulness? And then the posture of a thankful heart. And what I mean by that is how we approach God with a thankful heart. And finally, the foundation of a thankful heart, where all of this comes from. Where does it begin? Where does it start? Now, I have to be honest with you. I debated with myself all week long. I had this message planned out, of course, weeks ago. And I debated with myself all week long with everything that's happened in the last 2 weeks in our county, in our state, in our country. I thought, man, I just need to scrap this, and I need to talk about what's going on right now, and I need to talk specifically about what we're dealing with and the sickness and all the things that are happening. And then God just hit me with it. In the darkest of times is when we need thankfulness the most, right? And so I thought, nope, this is what we need to do today. And so that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about a lifestyle of thanksgiving and then where that leads us to celebrate our Savior. And so let me talk first about expressions of a thankful heart. Now, what happens in this passage is there's seven imperatives in the first four verses. And just what that means is that these are commands. It says, do this and do this and do this. It's telling us what to do. What does it look like when we are thankful? And so the first one is these expressions of a thankful heart. It's the first two verses. It says, let the whole earth shout triumphantly to God. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. These verses paint a very vivid, joyful picture. There is singing and dancing and shouting, and it's all together with the people, the community, your friends, your family. Everybody is celebrating together. The truth is, when thanksgiving and praise is genuine, it can't be contained. It is something that flows through every part of your life. It's on your face. People see it and hear it in your words. Think about Christmas. Have you ever seen your kids, or maybe video of kids who open that one present that they have been wanting all year long? How often do they open that present and go, why, thank you, Mother and Father, I will enjoy that this year? That's not what happens, is it? They jump up, they're shouting, they run around the room. It's that idea that their true feelings about that have to be expressed. You can't hold that in. We often think of thankfulness as some kind of a spiritual discipline, in the way that we say, well, I'm actually miserable right now, but I should be thankful, so I'm going to go ahead and be thankful. That's not it. That's not a thankful heart. In fact, actual thankfulness, what we're talking about here with this celebration, it's the opposite of putting on a facade. It's the opposite of saying, well, this is the way I should act. It's actually the expressions of what's truly in my heart. That's the expressions of a thankful heart. But if we're going to be genuine, we must know what our beliefs are. Where does this thankfulness come from? If it's not something I just make up, then what is it that's going on in my heart that makes me thankful? And that's our next verse, verse 3, and the beliefs of a thankful heart. It says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. His people, the sheep of his pasture. Your beliefs are an important part of your thankfulness. So what do the beliefs look like? They're based on the truth, and on the truth of an increasingly intimate understanding of who God is. Like Teresa was talking about today, that relationship that continues to get deeper and deeper. And here's the things that we believe, that we understand in this relationship with God. First, the Lord is God. The Lord is God. He is the one and only God over all creation, everything that was and is and ever will be. He is the one true God over all. That's the first and most important thing we have to understand, because everything else flows from that. The one that we worship, the one that we sing praise to, is the one and only true God. And then the second thing that we see in that verse is that he made us and we belong to him. Now, we know that he made us, right? I mean, that's part of the creation story. That's the fact that he's God over all. But because he made us, think about this for a minute, we belong to him. He doesn't make us and just set us aside and say, all right, I'm done with that part. Now I'm going to move on to something else. We belong to him. We are his. And that's true of believers, of followers of Christ. But that's true of every single human. It's just a different kind of truth. We'll talk about what that means in Christ in here just a second. But the truth is, because God made every single one of us that are breathing, we belong to him. He is the one who is over us and sovereign over us. And because of that, he can do with us whatever he pleases. We belong to him, and he can do with us whatever he pleases to do. And that's what makes the next part so incredible, is that he is the shepherd and we are the sheep. He is pleased to shepherd us. He can do whatever he wants with us. And what does he decide to do? To shepherd us, to care for us. And here's the picture of that. Jesus gives us that in John chapter 10, this picture of what it looks like to shepherd us. John chapter 10, verses 10 through 15. Now remember, this is Jesus, who is God in the flesh. This is what he has to say about shepherding us. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 10, he says, "A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and I have come that you may have life and have it in abundance." That's what he wants for us. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, since he's not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired hand and doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for my sheep." What an incredible truth about God. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the one who created us, and he has complete control over our lives, and he has chosen to shepherd us sacrificially. That's what he has chosen to do for us. That's the beliefs of a thankful heart. That's what's inside me that I can't contain. That's what brings out those joyful expressions. Now, I want to give you a picture at this point. In this psalm, the way it would work is those first three verses, as the people are coming to Jerusalem from their towns around and they're making their way there to worship, and they're making their way into Jerusalem to go to the temple, they would be singing those first three verses, okay? They would be singing those as they head. And when they get to Jerusalem, from the gates and the walls of Jerusalem, those people inside the city would sing verses 4 and 5 to the people who are approaching the temple. And so that's the picture, and it's so important because in verse 4, we have that beautiful phrase, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving." The people are calling to their brothers and sisters, "Come, enter the gates with thanksgiving." So let's look at the posture of a thankful heart. Verse 4 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name." When a person is living a lifestyle of thankfulness, they approach God with a certain posture. There's a certain way that we come into the presence of God. So let me show you the opposite of that first. Isaiah 1:12 says, "When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts?" That is not the way that we want to approach God. That's not the posture we want to come in with. Many of us come blind and stumbling into God's presence, trampling his courts. What's the proper way? What's the right posture? It's one of thanksgiving. Let me tell you this. When we enter the presence of God, we don't march to the walls of Jerusalem and enter the temple, but each and every one of us, because of Christ's work on the cross, can enter the presence of God at any moment. We can come to him in prayer. And so what's the right way to enter his presence? And the right way is thank you. Thank you, Lord. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, that will revolutionize your prayer life. Because we come to God and we bring him all of our wants and our needs and our desires. We bring to him our fears. We ask for provision and health and comfort. And all those things are wonderful. And those are all things that we should be bringing to God. But the way that we approach God should be one of thankfulness. That's the way we come into his presence. You may say, you know, that's difficult to do. That's hard to do in my life. Well, it's not. I've been training my children in this way. At dinner at my house, we sit at dinner, we always hold hands, and we always pray before we eat. And so what I do is I call on one of the kids. They all get chances to pray. I'll say, "Hey, Faith, would you pray for us?" And they pray for all their requests. You know, they have all these things, help us do good at school, all these things. But they always start, and this is, I'll have to have you over for dinner sometime, okay? Because almost always, I'll say, you know, Nathaniel, it's your turn to pray. Okay, thank you, God, for. That's the way his prayer starts. That's the way our prayers start. And they always have some great things. You know, thank you, God, for, you know, the fact that we got to go back to school. Thank you for the food. Thank you for Mom. I get left out a lot. But there's a lot of thank you for Mom. I think it's because she's the one that cooks the food. That's probably what it is. But I'm training my children up in this way that when you approach God, the very first thing you do is you say, thank you, God. I'm about to come, and I've got a whole bunch of requests from you, and I've got a whole bunch of fears, and I've got all these things I'm bringing into your presence. But first of all, God, thank you. Thank you. In your darkest times, this may seem impossible, and you may not have anything that you think you can be thankful for, but you can always be thankful for Jesus, because you would not be entering the presence of God right now if it wasn't for him. So that's, if you have nothing else, if your life has completely fallen apart, you can enter the presence of God and say, God, thank you that I'm here. Thank you for Jesus, and thank you that I can step into your presence. But even beyond that, there's other things that I think as we begin his presence, as we enter his presence with thankfulness, then I think he brings to mind the other great things that he's done for us. I have to share with you a story from this last week. One of our deacons here at the church, Bill Genovese, had a procedure 2 weeks ago, and he actually got COVID while he was in the hospital for his procedure. And so came home, got really sick, and then had to take the ambulance back to the hospital emergency room, and he's in ICU right now. And Bill's getting better, but he's been incredibly sick and a lot of pain in the hospital and completely by himself. Even his wife can't go see him. Now, if any of you know Bill, you know that guy lives on people. It's what he loves. Him and Doug will come do, you know, the maintenance stuff at the church, and Doug always has to come find Bill because he's back in my office talking to me. And Doug always chases him down. Bill, we got work to do. Quit talking to Pastor Shane. Bill loves people, and here he is. He's sick. He's hurting. He's all by himself, and he can't have any of the people around him that he wants. No reason to be thankful, right? Well, I was on the phone with Bill this week, and we were talking. He said, Pastor Shane, my nurse is here, so I have to go. And I said, okay, well, you know, let me pray for you. Ask your nurse if it's okay if I pray for you before we hang up. And he said, yeah, I asked her, and she said, it's fine. We can pray first. She's not in a hurry. I'm like, okay, great. And so Bill said, okay, you're on speakerphone. I'm like, oh, okay. And so I had that opportunity. I prayed for Bill, but I prayed for this nurse. I don't know who she was, but I can't imagine her life right now. Working on the COVID floor there in ICU. And so I prayed for her and prayed for, you know, our healthcare workers and spent that time in prayer. And then we hung up, and 30 minutes later, Bill called me back. And he said, Pastor Shane, the nurse wanted to know what time our services are at the church. And Bill, for the rest of that day, was walking on air. And I called his wife, Billie Jean, and she was in tears. In the midst of this horrible situation that they find themselves in, there's good things. God is still working. There's reasons to be thankful, even in those difficult and dark times. An author that I read this last week said, may God, who has given us so much, give us one more thing, a thankful heart. Thankful heart. This is the proper posture as we approach God. It's one of thanksgiving. It's one where we give thanks as we enter his presence. Now, I was thinking about this when I was writing it down, and I thought, man, Shane, that sounds kind of redundant. The posture of a thankful heart is thankfulness. But it's the idea of how we first approach God. When I walk into his presence, what does it look like? And a thankful heart always has that first and foremost on your mind. We begin our prayers with thanksgiving. And finally, the foundation. Verse 5 is our foundation of a thankful heart. For the Lord is good, and his faithful love endures forever, his faithfulness through all generations. We come to our foundation. Now, as I told you at the beginning, so far all of this has been commands. Remember? Verses 1 through 4, you should do this, you should do this, you should come, you should praise, you should do this. And then all of a sudden in verse 5, that's not the way the verse starts. It says, for the Lord is good. You know what that means? That's the reason. That's the reason for all those commands. That's the reason for those first four verses. Here's the reason. You should do all these things. You should shout for joy. You should serve the Lord. You should enter his gates with thanksgiving because of his faithful love. Because of his faithful love. This is the reason for everything that comes before it. The foundation is, in the Hebrew, his chesed, which is his faithful, enduring, unending love for us. You would think, after all the mercy and grace that God has shown me, and there's been a lot. I know you just see the good side of Pastor Shane on Sunday mornings, but there's been a lot of grace and mercy in my life. You would think he would have run out by now. You would have think we've gotten to the end of it. Okay, Shane, that's it. I mean, I run out of patience with my kids, right? At what point does God say, nah, I'm done? It's never happened, and it's never going to happen. That's his faithful love that endures for everything, forever. Everything in life comes and goes. Everything. I think so often we apply that to our material possessions, which is very true, and that's the most obvious one. But everything that we hold on to in this world comes and goes, including, you know, relationships and those kinds of things. They come and they go in life. There's only one thing that will never end, and that's the love of God. And that's what carries on into eternity. That's what carries us. The love of God through Christ carries us on into eternity. It is never ending. His faithful love existed before I was born. It was demonstrated perfectly in Jesus Christ, and it's what will carry me on into eternity. That's the reason. That's the foundation for thankfulness. Romans 8, 38 and 39, you know it well. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a beautiful and powerful foundation for thanksgiving, isn't it? That's a reason to give thanks. So let me close with this. As soon as Thursday is over, no one will say another word about Thanksgiving except for maybe, we got to take the Thanksgiving decorations down. That's the last time it'll probably be mentioned. Everything will be about Christmas, and that's okay. But as I said at the beginning, it's vital to truly celebrate Thanksgiving before we celebrate Christmas, and here's why. If we are living a life of discontentment, remember that's what these last 4 weeks have been about. We've been talking about contentment. And today we talk about Thanksgiving. If we're living a life that is disconnected from Thanksgiving, that is full of discontentment, a life where we're always wanting more, and as we've talked about these last few weeks, always believe we deserve more, right? When things aren't going our way, it's not fair. I deserve more than this. And when we're living that kind of life, then we trample God's courts once again as we approach the manger. We are trampling his courts as we approach the manger. We come in with an attitude of entitlement. We come in with an attitude that says, yeah, Jesus died for me. Somebody needed to. Somebody needed to die for me. So, sure, Jesus did that. But if we're living a lifestyle of thankfulness, if you are already today standing in awe of God's amazing grace and mercy for you. If you already today are looking at even the darkest times and realizing that God has good intended in those, if you are already living a life of thankfulness in awe of God's love and his faithfulness in your life, then in a month here, when you approach that manger, you will be blown away. You'll be like, that's it. This is everything that I've been thankful for about who God is and his love for me. All of it is right there. Jesus Christ, who being God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to for his own good, but instead he made himself nothing, taking on the nature of a servant, a man obedient to death, and not just any death like the rest of us have to die, death on a cross. Man, when you approach the manger understanding that, then it'll be a Christmas like you've never had before. If you truly want to celebrate Christmas this year, celebrate Thanksgiving first and begin living a lifestyle of thankfulness today. Amen? Stand up with me and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the fact that we can gather here today, we can open up your word, and we can hear what you have been speaking to mankind from the beginning of time. Lord, thank you that you speak to us. If you had left us in our sinfulness and remained completely silent, that would be exactly what we deserve. But thank you, Father, that you have a love that endures. You have a love that's faithful. You have a love that overcomes us, our blindness, our sinfulness. You have a love that is sacrificial, that you are the good shepherd who's laid down his life for the sheep. Thank you, Father. Lord, right now we're in some hard times. My heart is broken for my brother Bill. Father, my heart is broken for my brother Scott, who I just learned these last couple days can't be preaching at his church this morning because he's homesick with this coronavirus. Lord, my heart breaks for the hospital workers and just all the struggles, the way they put themselves in danger, the long nights. Lord, my heart breaks for the families who have lost loved ones. Lord, it's hard times right now. It's hard. I don't like being away from brothers and sisters. I don't like being worried about a full church on Sunday. Lord, but we thank you that you are working in the midst of this. We thank you that you have good intended for us. The one who would give his own son to save us will not leave us in the middle of a pandemic. We don't have to worry about that for a second. So, Father, thank you for your loving kindness, your enduring faithfulness. Thank you that your love never ends. Thank you, Father. Lord, I ask that would be the theme on our hearts in the coming days, the coming weeks. Lord, in the midst of a dark time, I ask that our expressions of thankfulness would shine into that dark world. Lord, there's a lot of people who are scared right now. There's a lot of people who are confused. There's a lot of people who have no faith in a sovereign God who loves them. And right now, they're in a deep darkness. Father, I ask that our thankfulness, our faith in you, our understanding of your goodness, your salvation, and your eternal plan for our lives, I ask that would shine into that dark world. Lord, I ask, I know you're doing lots of things, but I ask in the midst of this dark time that you would draw men and women to yourself, that people would come to know Jesus Christ first and foremost, Lord, above everything else and all the great ways I know you're working. Bring people to you and let us be, through our thankfulness to you for your salvation in our lives, let us be the light that shines in that darkness and draws men and women to you. Thank you for that privilege, Father. Work in us, work through us. Do your kingdom work in this dark time. It's in the name of Jesus we approach your throne. It's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Thank you.